Week number six of high school football Friday night across the listing area saw a number of blowout games, including in Class 3A, where Dallas Center Grimes beat Atlantic 55-0. Glenwood was a 42-0 winner over Denison during their homecoming. Harlan beat Winterset in 3A 34-13. It was Creston downing ADM 38-21. In Class 2A action, it was East Sac County over Shenandoah 28-21. Clarinda ran past West Central Valley of Stewart 75-12. It was Southeast Valley over Kemper Catholic 27-20, and Red Oak beating Trainer 13-7. 1A action saw AHSTW beat Missouri Valley 55-14. IKM Manning was a 33-24 winner over Otebolt Arthur BCIG, and Underwood blew away West Monona 49-0. In Class A action, it was Logan Magnolia over Tri-Center 48-7. Audubon downing Riverside 60-6, Maple Valley over Westwood 28-6, and St. Albert beating Griswold 35-14. Class A high school football action Friday saw Nottoway Valley with a 60-12 win over Clarinda Academy. Mount Air beat Bedford 41-13, and it was Pleasantville over Earlham 40-0. Eight-man football action in District 1, it was Exira EHK over Woodbine 62-0. Boyer Valley beating River Valley 48-6. Newell Fondo was a 34-18 winner over Arweva, and Kingsley Pearson pounded on West Harrison 54-6. District 7 eight-man football action Friday, it was Glidden Ralston over Adair Casey 55-0. Coon Rapids Baird downing Murray 63-6. Ankeny Christian was a 62-48 winner over Guthrie Center, and East Union beat Charter Oak Ute 68-12. And in District 8 of eight-man play, it was Fremont Mills over Stanton 30-22, Cam beating Nishnabotna 52-41, Lennox down East Mills 38-12, and Essex was a 66-54 winner over Sydney. Iowa opens the Big Ten race at 19th-ranked Wisconsin today. The Badgers are known as a power running team, but Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says they can also hit a defense with a big play.
What they do creates a lot of stress on you, defensively. They just if you try to load up in one area, they're going to find it real quick because they know their system and they know where to go when you're hurting them. So, that's the challenge that's in at hand right now. And just look back the last couple games with them. Yeah, you're playing them well, and then boom, they hit you with that one play. And I think that's kind of a characteristic of a good football team, and certainly they've been successful at that for quite a while.
The Hawkeyes will need to find a way to win in front of a hostile crowd at Camp Randall Stadium.
And really, that kind of dates back to 1999. They've had good football teams historically up there. And I think the common denominator is they've had good players each and every year. They've been very, very well coached. They play hard. And then when you play up in Madison, that's an extra challenge on top of it.
It's a matchup of teams that play a physical style of football.
It's been the way it's been there for quite a while, and I think we've been fairly consistent too. So, it's one of those no fair dodging games. It's going to be a tough, hard nosed, physical football game. They've prided themselves on that for quite some time and done very, very well at it. And our better teams have done the same thing. So, from that standpoint, it ought to be a great contest.
Iowa is 4-0 thus far on the season. Wisconsin is 3-1. Pre-game coverage begins at 9 o'clock here on KJAN with a kickoff at noon from Madison, Wisconsin. Iowa State opens Big 12 play at home against Kansas today. The Cyclones were winless in conference play last season, but will have a chance to stop that slide against a winless Jayhawk team.
We'd like to get this victory at home and start out the season 1-0 in a Big 12. We'd like to even our record at 2-2, and we'd like to be 2-1 in Jack Trice Stadium. Our loyal fan base and the atmosphere that's going to be in there this Saturday will certainly do its part in giving us that opportunity.
That's Iowa State coach Paul Rhodes, who says the Cyclones are an improved team despite a 1-2 record.
We've played three very good football teams, and they've shown that. That only losses to us, obviously. And we have been in all three games, and one could argue that we had an opportunity to win all three games. So, we know we're a much improved football team from a year ago, but this Saturday gives us another opportunity to show that and put something in the win column.
ISU lost at Kansas a year ago, but Rhodes says revenge is not on their mind.
If you need chips on your shoulder or you need outside motivation like that, then you're probably competing at the wrong level. Our guys need to take what they've been taught on the field and in the meeting room and their skills to the field and go out and perform.
Kansas is 0-3 after a loss to Rutgers. Kickoff from Jack Trice Stadium in Ames begins today at 11 o'clock. In another top 25 football action, a person with knowledge of the situation told the Associated Press that Florida quarterback Will Grier is ill and might not start against third-ranked Mississippi tomorrow. The 25th-ranked Gators had about a dozen players miss practice this week because of a virus, but Coach Jim McElwain said Wednesday night that he thought the bug had run its course. If Grier doesn't start, sophomore Treon Harris would make his second start of the season. In NFL news, Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy is out indefinitely after revealing he had a setback with his hamstring injury last week. McCoy said he was making progress in his recovery from the left hamstring injury before Buffalo's Week 3 game against the Miami Dolphins, but it hurt again last Sunday. San Francisco 49ers tight end Vernon Davis is listed as doubtful for Sunday's game against the Packers due to a right knee injury suffered in last Sunday's loss to Arizona. He attempted to practice yesterday and today, but left the field at the start of the team drills to work on the injury with the training staff. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck will likely be a game-time decision to play against Jacksonville on Sunday. If Luck doesn't play, backup quarterback Matt Hasselbeck is expected to start. Panthers middle linebacker Luke Kuechly will miss his third straight game Sunday when the team plays Tampa Bay. The 2013 NFL Defensive Player of the Year suffered a concussion in Carolina's opening game of the season. Saints coach Sean Payton expects Drew Brees to start at quarterback against Dallas tomorrow night after he missed last week's game with a bruised rotator cuff. And wide receiver DeSean Jackson, linebacker Perry Riley Jr., and cornerback D'Angelo Hall have all been ruled out of Washington State's game Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, or Washington's game, I should say. Jackson is still recovering from his hurting left hamstring in week number one. Riley missed last week's game with a strained left calf, and Hall hurt a toe on his right foot last week. In baseball action, the American League West remains the only division title still up for grabs. The Texas Rangers could have clinched the division with a victory against the visiting Angels or a loss by Houston. Instead, Los Angeles rallied in the ninth inning to beat the Rangers 2-1 before the Astros crushed Arizona. The game was tied 1-1 until Mike Trout led off the ninth with a triple and scored on a single by Albert Pujols. Jared Weaver and four relievers combined to three-hit Texas, with Joe Smith working a perfect ninth to get the save. The Rangers' magic number stayed at one after the Astros destroyed the Diamondbacks 21-5. Dallas Keuchel had no trouble picking up his 20th victory, giving up two runs in six innings. Carlos Correa hit one of Astros' four homers and was 3-for-4 with four RBIs and four runs scored. Colby Rasmus also homered and scored four times. Houston continues to lead the AL wildcard race by one game over Los Angeles, with the Twins now two games back. Also in Major League Baseball action, Russell Martin went 3-for-5 with a solo homer and two RBIs as the Blue Jays whipped the Rays 8-4. Toronto remained tied with Kansas City in the battle for the AL's best record and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The Jays hold the tiebreaker. The Royals kept pace of the Blue Jays and damaged the Twins' wild card hopes with a 3-1 triumph at Minnesota. The Pirates beat Cincinnati 6-4 on Starling Marte's two-run homer in the bottom of the 12th. Andrew McCutchen belted a solo shot in the fourth to spark a rally that allowed the Bucks to stay two games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the battle for home field advantage in the NL wildcard game. Jake Arrieta improved to 22-6 and dropped his ERA to 1.77 by yielding two hits and no walks while striking out seven in six scoreless innings of the Cubs' 6-1 rout of Milwaukee. Alex Wood gave up two runs and five hits in seven innings of the Dodgers' 6-2 win over San Diego. The Dodgers are now a half game ahead of the Mets for home field advantage in the NLDS. Julio Teheran pitched well in Atlanta's 4-0 shutout of St. Louis last night, limiting the Cardinals to five hits and striking out six in six innings. Daniel Castro hit a solo homer and an RBI double as the Braves won for the third time in four games. Nolan Arenado hit his 42nd homer and added a two-run double in Colorado's 9-3 rump over the Giants in San Francisco. Carlos Santana hit a three-run double in the third inning to put the Indians ahead to stay in an 8-2 rump over Boston. Chicago beat Detroit 2-1 as White Sox ace Chris Sale set a single-season team record with 274 strikeouts. And Danny Valencia slammed a tie-breaking two-run homer in the eighth inning to push Oakland past Seattle 4-2. Finally, in baseball news, the Mets' game against visiting Washington was rained out and rescheduled as part of a day-night doubleheader to take place today. Likewise, the Yankees and Orioles were rained out in Baltimore, creating a twin bill tonight. And there was a rainout in Philadelphia, causing the Phillies and Marlins to play a single-admission doubleheader today. However, more rain is in the forecast for all three cities the rest of this weekend. Sports was brought to you by Insurance Services in Elkhorn. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.